The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Talking about stewardship. Hallelujah. Of course, we know a steward is one that sometimes a slave or sometimes an appointed person, a hired individual that is responsible for the household of his employer or his master. And he manages those things. We have many examples. Joseph was a steward in Potiphar's house. Throughout the Bible, we see that there were different stewards that handled the responsibility of the actual one who owned these possessions. And what we see from a biblical perspective is that our God owns it all. Everything belongs to our God. Everything is his. According to Psalms 50:10, every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. So everything. It also says that the heaven and the heavens of the heavens belongs to the Lord. But there's an interesting Psalm in Psalm 115 verse 16. It says the heavens and the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So our God has given us a responsibility here in this earth. He has delegated his goods to us in this earth. And this story that we're going to read, this parable we're going to read this morning, is a story about the kingdom of God and how Jesus delegated some responsibility there. He delegated his responsibility to his people. So let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, beginning with verse 14. Now there's a little different version of this in Luke. He uses a different terminology for the money, but it's basically the same kind of a story. The first verse there, in verse 14, that we're going to look at, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Now, this is important, and we focus on this right from the beginning. The kingdom of heaven is like. Now, last week, I made a couple statements that I feel like I need to clarify. And that is the difference between the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the kingdom. I did not want to leave anybody with the impression that they were two different things, because they're really not. They're two different parts of the whole, of the same thing. The gospel of Christ is the good news, and gospel simply means good news. I think we all know that. So the gospel of Christ is the good news that Jesus is the Christ, or from the Old Testament perspective, Messiah. Same, it's the same word or same description, only the Greek word comes Christos, and we render it Christ. The Hebrew, we render Messiah. But it's the same person. The Messiah was foretold hundreds, thousands of years before he came. In fact, in Genesis, it's the first prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. So the gospel of Christ is the good news that the Son of God, that the Christ, the Messiah, has come to earth. And not only has he come to earth, but the full message there is that the Christ came and he died for our sins. He took our place. He shed his blood. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the gospel of the kingdom extends beyond that. The gospel kingdom is more than that. The gospel of the kingdom is that you get to be, see, the gospel of Christ brings you into the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom gives you the authority and the responsibility to do something in the kingdom. That's the different aspects of the same. To do something in the kingdom. You've been called. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's a kingdom message. And that kingdom message goes throughout the world. It's supposed to be, go wherever we go, and whatever we do, we're supposed to be carrying that message. And that message is that our God is in control. Our God is powerful. Our God has given us authority to walk in this earth and do the work that He's called us to. And believe me, He's called everyone sitting in here to do a work, to be a part of the kingdom work. We are called. We are equipped. We are blessed. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus said this, or it says this about Jesus. He went in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. You see, he was going about preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand, and he proved it by healing, delivering, and setting people free. He was doing the work of the kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be about, doing the work of the kingdom of God. We do preach that, you know, the kingdom is here, the kingdom has come, Jesus came, Jesus delivered, Jesus saved. But that word that is used for saved is sozo, and it means so much more than just getting to go to heaven. Praise God for that ticket that I get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. But I have a life to live here on this earth. And in living that life, I have a responsibility to share with other people the good news that there is a kingdom all around us. It's an invisible kingdom, but it's a powerful kingdom. And it's based in the name of Jesus Christ. And it can heal, it can deliver, it can set people free, it can renew your spirit and renew your mind. It can bring you above and beyond the circumstance that you're in. It can set you on a solid rock. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of you are catching this morning. I'm glad. You see, what we've done is we've dissected the gospel of the kingdom. And we've put it in two messages. Jesus and the kingdom. And those of us who preach about the kingdom are ridiculed by those who just believe in the gospel of Jesus. Because, see, the gospel of Jesus just says that Jesus came, died on the cross so you could go to heaven. But the message of the kingdom is Jesus came to earth, died on the cross. Yes, you get to go to heaven, but you have a work to do here in this earth to deliver the message of the kingdom. There's more to it. A lot more to it. There's been some good preaching about Jesus being the answer and Jesus coming and being the Lamb of God so that we can receive salvation. There's been some good preaching about that, but it doesn't stop there. The whole message has to be shared. The whole message has to be a part of our life. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we need to be about kingdom work and kingdom business. It's about the kingdom. I'm talking here about the reality of being a steward of the things that God has given us. Because remember, we don't own this stuff. We're stewards of it. We don't own, and we don't have the responsibility of owning. We have the responsibility of taking care of it and using it properly. The kingdom message gives you power to live and demonstrate the kingdom in this earth. The king came to earth, and where the king goes, so goes the kingdom. And when he left, he delegated his responsibility to his people to spread the kingdom, to share the kingdom, to be about the kingdom work. In Acts 1:8, it says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. You will receive dunamis, is what the Greek word there is. It's overwhelming, explosive power. We have that. We don't act like we have it sometimes, but we have it. It's in us. If you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you have it. It's in you. My job is to remind you of that. You have it. Wherever you go, no matter what your situation is, you have that explosive power inside of you. Remember, it is powerful, and it's not according to your will or your ability. It's according to the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Be filled up with that power. You need it. You have to have it. We're mere humans. We don't have anything in us that will cause us to be able to accomplish the kingdom work, except when we receive Jesus Christ and filled with the Spirit of God. When we're filled with the Spirit, then we have it. We live in it. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Who wants joy in the Holy Spirit? I certainly do. I want to have some joy in my life. It comes from the Spirit of God stirring me up, walking in that joy, recognizing that joy. I want to have joy with my family. I want to have joy with my church. I want to have joy doing the work that God has called me to do. It's not always easy to have joy, is it? It's joy in the Holy Ghost is what it says. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." It's that power that we're looking for. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, the first thing in verse 14 that I want us to look at is the truth about the kingdom. Now, Jesus often said this when he shared a parable. Now, a parable is just a short, simple story based on familiar things, and it's meant to convey a truth or a moral truth. It's an allegory. A story or a narrative that teaches a moral or a truth. It's something that we can relate with. And often Jesus would teach these things that the people could relate with. And he would say what he said here. The kingdom of God is like. Now this is very important that we get a hold of this. Jesus is teaching us what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. He's not just telling a nice little story for the sake of telling a story. He's saying, look, if you'll listen to this, you'll understand how the kingdom works. And the kingdom works like this. It's important that we understand how the kingdom works. You know why? Why do we need to know how the kingdom works? Are you a part of the kingdom? Amen. You're a citizen of the kingdom. You are sons and daughters of the king. That makes you royalty in the kingdom. If you're royalty in the kingdom, then you should know how the kingdom works. Yes, too often, the body of Christ doesn't know how the kingdom works. We operate according to the world's principles instead of God's principles, instead of kingdom principles. We listen to what the world has to say about how we should conduct our families, how we should live with our spouse, how we should handle our money. Boy, have we bought into the world's way of doing things when it comes to money. Debt, 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 debt. That's the world's way. We have bought hook, line, and sinker the world's philosophies. Even in raising our children, we've gotten away from biblical principles about how to raise our children and what we should be doing. Every area of our life, the body of Christ has got to get back to kingdom principles. We've got to come to the place where we understand how this kingdom works. And let me tell you something. When we understand how the kingdom works and we start operating in the kingdom, the world's going to take notice. They're going to look at us and they're going to say, there's something different about those people. They may say we're weird. That's okay. Because even though we're weird, we are, according to their philosophies, we will be walking in the joy of the Holy Ghost. When you operate according to the biblical principles, the kingdom principles, you have the joy of the Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah. All right. We have a wonderful example of what the body of Christ, or what the church is all about. And 1 Corinthians, Paul likens us to the body. And he says that we are the body of Christ, and the members in particular. And he refers to us, each one of us, having a specific responsibility as a part of the body to accomplish and to do the work of the kingdom. So as we look at this kingdom message and we look at this parable this morning, we need to recognize that there are certain truths about the kingdom that we need to catch hold of. Kingdom truth. And a kingdom, the reason that we call it a kingdom is because it's ruled by a king. And our king, Jesus, is the ruler. So what we have to recognize, as his subjects, we need to come under his lordship. And coming under his lordship means that we are willing to give him full and complete control of our life. You see, in ancient days, or any place where there's a king, that king has complete authority and control. He has people's lives in his hand. If he doesn't like what somebody's doing, he can say, off with their head. If he likes them, he can bring them into his inner circle. Take care of them. Nurture them. You see, the way it operates in this kingdom is that we come into the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our King, Jesus, who has sacrificed everything for us, loves us, cares for us, because we proclaim him as King and Lord. So it's necessary that we give everything over to our King. That we don't hide anything. We don't hold anything back. You know, that laser I was talking about, that's exactly what God wants to do in our life. And I got to tell you, I know from experience that it's not all taken out all at once. You know, I don't get rid of those parts in me that need to be taken away. Just like that, every part of it. But there are times when I do receive those miraculous deliverance and powers, just like that laser coming in, taking something out. But it's always when I say, Lord God, I give it to you. I don't want to hold on to this any longer. I don't want to be responsible for this. I don't want this habit, this addiction, this thing in my life any longer. Take it away. I give it to him. That's the only way it'll go. It's when we give it over. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. Our King, our Lord, the Master is Jesus Christ. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are Christians, we are his servants. We are called a part of his household. We are bought with his money, with his blood. We are devoted to his praise, and we're to be employed in his work. Luke 19:13 says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. It's another version of this message. And he said unto them, this is what Jesus said. He gave it to his servants. Look, remember, this is the way the kingdom works. Jesus came. He established his kingdom in the earth. He preached the kingdom of God is at hand. He did his work that was necessary to establish the kingdom. Shed his blood. Set it up so we could operate in the kingdom. And he delegated his authority to his servants. He said, all authority has been given to me. Go, therefore. Preach the gospel. Do the work of the kingdom. He said, do it. So this is the way the kingdom works. Jesus went away, just like it's going to tell us in this parable. Jesus came and then he went away. But when he went away, he left his kingdom here. The operation of his kingdom work. And he delegated his authority to his people. Now hear what Jesus says in Luke chapter 19, verse 13. He gave them the money. He gave them the resources. He gave them everything they needed. And he said this, occupy till I come. Now that word occupy is a verb. It doesn't mean just take up space. Because that's what we think when we read that. Jesus said take up some space on this earth till he gets back. We're just going to wait. Jesus said go hide out in a cave until I come back. Come on, he didn't say that. Jesus said occupy till I come. Right. Literal translation of that is do business till I come. Do the business of the kingdom. Amen. Do the work of the kingdom until I get back. Don't give up. Hang in there. Those who are faithful to the end will receive the reward. Look for what God has for you. Stay engaged in the kingdom. Don't let the enemy take you out. He wants to. His desire is to remove you so that you're no longer an intricate part of the kingdom work. Occupy till I come. So there's the truth about the kingdom that Jesus set up is that this is the way it operates. He left, he came, did his work, he left, and he left us here to do a work for him. Verse 15. And it says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. So there we see it. He left it, and he went on a journey. He left us with this responsibility. Now, every believer receives gifts from the Lord. If you believe in Jesus Christ, he imparts, you receive the salvation through Christ, he imparts gifts into your life. Now, as Jesus tells this story, he puts the gifts in terms that everyone can understand. Currency. Talks about currency. He talks about money. Everybody can understand money and how money operates and what you do with money. And that's what he's doing here. He's explaining something that everyone can understand. Now I'm going to divert just a moment from my message to talk about currency just a minute. Because how many know, let me take this. Dollar bill. How much is that worth? Does anybody really know what it's worth? Huh? What? Sweet tea? That's right. That's right. It's worth a tea out here in the foyer. Amen. Amen. You know what it's really worth? Nothing. It's just a piece of paper. And the only reason we think it's worth anything is because we think it's worth something. That's the only reason. Because we believe, and we believe our government, that it is worth something. However, the reality is there's nothing backing that. Nothing at all. Many years ago, we were taken off the silver standard. In 1971, we were taken off the gold standard. You know the reason that they were able to print the money for the bailout was because we don't have a gold standard. They can print as much of this as they want. And the more they print, the less it's worth. So I want you to understand, when we're talking about currency here, what Jesus was telling them and talking to them about, it was worth something. It was probably silver coinage. That's mostly what they used at that time. And a talent was 6,000 denarius. And a denarii was a day's wages. So what Jesus is saying to these, what he gave and what he's giving to these people, The first guy, he gave him how many? 5 talents? Isn't that what the scripture says? He gave him 5 talents. Wow. 5, 2, and 1. The first one he gave 5. Wow, that's a lifetime worth of income. This is what God and what Jesus Christ is trying to convey to us is that what he has given us is extremely valuable. Very valuable. But we have a responsibility to take that value, the intrinsic value in it, and do something with it. And we'll see that in just a little bit. Extremely valuable. Because even for the guy that got 1, it was a lot of money. It was very, very important that he take it and do something with it. Probably about 15, 16 years worth of wages, just the guy that got 1. Now, what we see in this, it says each one was given according to his ability. Some of you are sitting back there thinking, I don't have anything to offer the Lord. That's a lie from Satan himself. He's lying to you. You sit back there and you see Pastor Rob up here preaching and teaching the Word of God, and you think you have nothing. Listen, this is just my calling. This is what I'm called to. There are a 5-fold ministry that people are called to. Pastor Otis and Ivy called to the ministry, the music ministry, and others that are in the praise and worship team. People are called, Tammy's called to administration. And she uses that gift for this church. Praise God, for without her, I'd lose more than my Bible. Hallelujah. She is on top of things. Giftings. God has gifted every person in here. You have giftings and callings in your life, and you must catch hold of this reality. It's very valuable. I don't care what it is. It's extremely valuable. It's valuable to this body. And it's valuable to your brothers and sisters, and it's valuable to me. It's valuable to this world. It has more value than they understand. You've been called. You've been gifted. You've been equipped. That's right. You have everything you need to do what God has called you to do and to be everything that God wants you to be. You're a very special vessel. Unique, every one of us. Unique in our ways and our calling. Unique in our abilities. Unique in the gifts that God gives us. Ephesians 4:8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts. Now I want to tell you something. The real gift is the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that was the gift that we received. When Jesus left this earth, he told us that he was going to send the promise of the Father. And that was the gift. The gift that comes imparts to individuals as he wills. Now you say, Pastor Rob, how can you say that? Where do you find that? Well, it's simple. I read the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one in the same Spirit worketh all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit does the distribution of gifts in people's lives. Thank God. You know, you should get up and dance over that. Because the giftings and the abilities that you have been imparted to you through the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. That means that it's not you. You know, hallelujah. Pastor Otis, of course he has a certain amount of talent. But that's not his gifting. His gifting in music goes way beyond the talent that he has. How many understand that? Come on, you should. When you feel the Spirit of God moving in this place, when we're worshiping, praising God, it's more than just a talent. It's a gift that God has imparted and that he's stirring up inside of him. That's the same thing God wants to do in every one of us, each and every person. He's stirring up those gifts inside of us so that we can fulfill His will and His calling in our life. Amen. It's an exciting thing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Begin with verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differ according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever gift it is. Now, that's just a small portion of the giftings that are listed in the Bible, in the Word of God, and in particularly in the New Testament, that are imparted to the body of Christ. It's a sampling. By no means is it meant to be an exhaustive list. It's just a sampling of the things. And he's saying, listen, do these things. Recognizing that that gifting is imparted to you through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. The gifts, according to Romans 11, 29, the gifting that you have, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That means you can't shake them off. You can't change them. You can't say to God, I don't like this gift. I want another gift. I want Pastor Otis' gift. I wish I could say that and get that gift. That'd be wonderful. Hallelujah. I'm sure a lot of you feel that way. You like to have a specific gift. It's not the way it works. We take the gift we have, and we're supposed to use that gift for the kingdom of God, and we're supposed to be satisfied with that gift. Now, that doesn't mean he won't add gifts to you, because the scripture is pretty clear about the reality that if we use what we have, we will receive more responsibility. This parable right here that we were just reading, it talks about those who use their talents and increase their money were given more responsibility. In fact, those who did not, it was taken away from. Those who did received more. So that's the great thing about the kingdom. Remember, Jesus said, this is the way the kingdom works. This is the way the kingdom works. This is the way the kingdom works. And he's telling us, the kingdom works like this. If you use your gifts, your talents, your abilities for the kingdom, God will add to them. Hallelujah. You want it. I'll tell you what. We know that if we ask the Father, according to Matthew 7:11, that He will give. He will withhold no good thing from us if we ask. And Jesus also said, you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we just need to ask. Okay. You know, being a father and a grandfather, I understand having my children ask me for things. Now, there's been times that my children have asked for things that I didn't think was good for them. So I didn't give it to them. And then there's times that they asked for something I didn't think was good for them, and I did give it to them. You know? They learned a lesson through that many times. Sometimes it really didn't matter. For instance, when Owen comes to me and says, Papa, can I have some candy? It may not be a good thing for him, but I'm going to give that little guy a piece of candy. especially when he calls me Pap. I think it's so cute. He says, Pap, can I go with you? Pap, can I have a piece of candy? I mean, he knows how to get to his papa. He gets what he wants because he says, Pap, can I have that? Our Pap wants to give us all that we ask for. And you know, there are probably things that we ask for that are not good for us, and he protects us and he keeps it back. But when it comes to giftings and callings in the body of Christ, he won't hold that back from you. If you really desire to walk in his gift, whatever it is, you ask. Your heavenly Father wants to pour it out on you. He wants you to be used. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to draw close to him. Right, those gifts are free if we ask for them. All right. The truth about the kingdom, it's here. It's powerful. We've been delegated authority. Each one of us given certain abilities. And the last thing is due diligence is necessary for reward. Verse 16 through 30. Need to get back to Matthew. Matthew 25. Verse 16. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. This is the impression many people have of our God. He's hard. He's harsh. He's standing up there, just waiting for us to make a mistake so he can send a bolt of lightning down and just incinerate us. Our God's not like that. There is judgment with God. If you live outside of his blessings, you live outside of his will for your life, you walk in sin, there will eventually be judgment for that. But our God is a loving, kind God who loves his children and wants us to receive everything he has for us. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I believe this scripture, I don't believe this man is being cast into hell here. I believe that there is great pain and anguish and remorse over not doing what God told him to do. These are servants of the king, not people who are outside of the kingdom. They are part of the kingdom. So he's teaching us that there is a responsibility that we have, and we need to have due diligence to receive our reward. Jesus wants every person to recognize their responsibility and just walk in that gifting and that calling. 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. He's talking about when the judgment, the time of judgment comes. When we stand before the Lord, he's going to, if our work was built on the solid rock and the foundation and the principles of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, we'll receive a reward. But listen to what else it says here. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. It's teaching that, you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're not due diligent to the very end with the gifts and the callings that you have, you're going to suffer loss. You're going to suffer loss. You're going to be sorry for the fact that you didn't do what you were supposed to do. The King has these things for you, and he wants to reward you. Hang in there. Be faithful. Use your gifts and your callings for the kingdom of God. Share the gospel wherever you go. Be kind. Love people. That's the fulfillment. Love the Lord your God. All the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Spread the love of God everywhere. Anyone who says, I just want to get into heaven. I don't care. Just get in by the skin of my teeth. They don't understand this principle that Jesus is laying out for us in the kingdom. This is a kingdom principle. You want rewards. It's okay to be rewarded. We have a society today that is teaching our children in school, even teaching them in athletics, wherever we go, that it's not a good thing to compete. Some of you must be out of the loop because you're not getting this. I'm telling you, they're teaching our children not to compete. They're telling them it's a bad thing to compete. Everyone should get the prize. Doesn't matter whether you competed hard or not. Everyone gets it. What kind of incentive does that give to people? Well, we can look around in our society and we can see. Everybody gets, whether you do any good or not, you get something handed to you. Look, we all know what needs to happen. We recognize this is a biblical principle that if you compete well and do well, you are rewarded for it. We need to get back to that in our society as well. That competition is a good thing. Now, I'm not saying that competition is to the point where we step on other people to get where we're going. That's not good. That's not what the Bible teaches. We're to love people. But it's not a bad thing for us to strive to be the best. To win the prize. That's what Paul taught. He said, run the race to win the prize. That's what this parable is teaching us. That every one of us is to run the race so that on the other side, we get the prize. And it's not based on your calling. Do you hear me? It's not based on your calling and your giftings. I want you to understand that. It's based on what you do with your calling and your giftings. That's where your reward is. Hallelujah. Heaven's rewards will be given to faithful, obedient servants. Hallelujah. Pastor Otis, come on up now. Everyone stand with me. We've learned some truth about the kingdom of God this morning. The way it operates, in the way we're supposed to operate within the kingdom. Now I know that maybe for years you've thought there are no parameters or guidelines for the kingdom of God. But the truth is, unless we learn what the Bible teaches us about the kingdom and how it operates, we're going to miss out. I don't want you to miss out. I want you to receive everything God has for you. And let me tell you something, your calling, your gifts and your calling may take you someplace you don't really want to go. But it's God's will for your life. Your gifts and your calling may cause you to move into areas where you're uncomfortable. Believe me, I know. It's put me here. I'm uncomfortable here. But it's not about my comfort. It's about His kingdom. It's about moving the kingdom forward. It's about accomplishing God's will. A few years ago, there was a group of missionaries that was working in Iraq. As they were working, they were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were trying to better the lives of people there. And they were working on a water purification system. And on their way back, they were on their way back to their camp. And as they were driving back, a bunch of Muslim fanatics jumped out with machine guns and killed them. Killed every one of them. There was four or five of them. As they went through their stuff, there was a letter by one of the girls. Let me make sure I get her name right. Karen Watson. And in her stuff, she had written a letter, and among other things, she'd written some stuff about to her family. And this letter, actually, she had it in case something happened to her. It was kind of the last will and testament of hers. And one of the things she said in a letter, she said, to obey was my objective. To suffer was expected. His glory is my reward. She didn't have any grand illusions of what it was going to be like to do the will of the Lord. She suffered. She sacrificed. But I can guarantee you, there will be reward in glory for her. And that's what we want. We want to live our life such a way that we receive that reward. Let's pray. Father God, today as we're learning about being stewards and recognizing that everything is yours and that we're to turn our life completely and wholly over to you. Thank you that your kingdom works this way, Lord. That you do give us power and authority. You didn't leave us behind without the ability to be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in this earth. Today, Father, we thank you for your word. And I just ask that it would go forth into the hearts and the minds of your people. That it would cause us to recognize our responsibility and not shrug off what you have given us. Some of us in here this morning, you've spoken to us time after time about what you desire and what you want for our life. Some have been running from it, Lord. Today there's a new conviction. There's a new calling. There's even an anticipation, Father, of what you're going to do from this moment on. Thank you for touching those lives. Thank you for pinpointing those people and dealing with their life this morning. We just give you glory and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you'd like to have prayer for healing, please come up. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited about 2013 and what God is doing in and with the body of Christ. The world is in turmoil, but Jesus promised that He has overcome the world. Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and He will direct our path. I pray this message will help you find God's path for your life. If you would like to know more about the ministry of Bethel Worship Center, visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.